Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, God, we do thank you, praise you, and love you, God. We thank you that you've just wanted not our ability, but our availability. And God, as we've made ourselves available to you, God, you have used your people. And for that, we thank you. Now, God, I'm praying that you would touch and bless this preaching moment, God, that you would allow it to be an experience that would deposit something into the hearts and the ears and the spirits of the listeners. God, speak through my mouth, think through my mind. Let it be all of you and less of me in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, with your Bibles in your hands. Repeating after me, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I will have what it says I will have. I'm a part of Deliverance Temple, where we love by living our vision every day. We connect with our Creator continually. We confess our deliverance consistently. We commit to serve creatively. And we communicate Christ's love compassionately. Father God, feed me your word. Come on, put your hands together this morning for the feeding of the Lord. All right, so we have been in what I call the people series. And the people series, let's just do a quick review. The first sermon was people of purpose. And in that, we gave us four things to take away, that we need to discover our purpose, dedicate to our purpose, demonstrate our purpose, and defend our purpose. And then we shifted from there to people of power, because once you are in purpose, power becomes available. And in the people to power, go backwards just one. The people of power. And then we left off with an acronym that was WIN. And so then we went to the power to win. Ultimately, if you're walking in purpose, then you have the power to win in anything. And then we went there from there to last week to the people of peace. And here's just one verse to wrap everything up that we talked about last week. It said it this way, Psalms 34:14, turn away from evil and do what is good, seek peace and pursue it. So once you are in your purpose, you have power, but you are not reckless with your power. You are a peacemaker with your power. And then that's going to transition us today. We are talking today about people of praise. People of praise. I'm going to tie the last two together and the peace and the praise by telling you a story before I go any further. So let me just, I've told this story before, but I'm going to give it just a little more detail behind it. So there's a time when working at General Motors in the Muncie plant where I was working the third shift. And I follow the second shift, obviously, but on the second shift, there was a radio that was playing. And, you know, back in the day, sometimes the radio programs would go off the air and there would be no sound but fuzz because it was no longer sending a signal. So when I would come on second shift at a certain time, usually around midnight, that previous station would go off the air and it would just be fuzz. And I got tired of listening to the fuzz, so I decided I was going to shift and I was going to put it on to WTLC 105.7. Some of y'all old enough to remember 105.7. It was the only way that we were going to get black music in Muncie because we couldn't really count on WLBC to give us some black music. So I was playing 105.7. The only thing was the person on day shift, they looked, they had a lot of tattoos, and I knew they didn't want to hear R&B music. So me being a good person, I thought that I would switch the station to some type of rock and roll so that the day shift person wouldn't have to listen to my black music, because by the looks of them, they didn't enjoy that music. And I was thinking I'm going just to be a good coworker. It's nothing wrong with just being a good coworker and being thoughtful. And so I switched it back. And so this happened for about a whole week. And on Friday of that week, I did not listen to WTLC 105.7. I had one of those praising moments. Now, this was before the time of iPods and things, and you couldn't just put a Walkman on your ears back in the day. So the praise was on the inside. And I had a praising moment. I shut off 105.7. I didn't want to hear the sounds of love that night. I wanted to hear that praise that was on the inside, like, victory is mine. Victory is mine. I told Satan, get thee behind. Victory today is mine. All those things. So, man, I'm talking about I had me a moment, me and God, from the start, from the moment I clocked in to the moment I left, I was locked in to a praise. So I go to the time clock on that morning, waiting in the time clock, and the day shift person, who I've been turning the radio to rock and roll, they come into the time, the timeline for me to say something to me. And I just knew they was going to thank me for making sure that the program was where they needed to be. And they tapped me on the back and they started talking to me. But I didn't catch what they were saying. I was just shaking my head. I was so lost in my goodness and God and praising the Lord that I was like, in my mind, they were saying thanks. And so I walked out, clocked out. But once I clocked out, it dawned on me, they looked a little angry. And I got to thinking, and it clicked. They said, don't touch my radio again. They was telling me off, and I didn't even know it. I was so caught up in this praise, in this peace. But guess what? When it dawned on me what happened, all the praise went out of me. I wanted to go clock back in and find them and, like, look here, fool. I'm trying to help you. And then God was like, just let it go. Just let it go. You was praising. You was happy. And so I bring that up to make this point. Here's the point. I had no idea that I was going to get into a quote unquote altercation, but God knew it. So God kept me in a mode of peace and praise. That way, when the enemy showed up, I didn't even recognize the enemy because I was in so much peace and in so much praise that it basically went over my head what was going on. Let me throw this out there. There are some haters that you have, but when you're locked into praise, sometimes you don't even notice the people that are beneath you. Now, once I noticed, my flesh kicked in and I wanted to mean mug him the rest of the time. Because here's the thing. And it's like, I don't care nothing about your raggedy radio. I'm trying to help you. I didn't even know it was your radio. I thought it was a second shift radio. I had no idea. So I called myself wanting to be mad at him. But this was Friday. By the next Monday, Tuesday, guess what happened? He ended up on sick leave. And then by the time he got back, he ended up in another department. Here's the thing. You got to be careful who you call yourself getting mad at, because they might be locked into peace and praise, and you might mess around and call yourself telling somebody off, and you might mess around and step on God's territory. And so that's why God was telling me, you ain't got to go back in there and clock in and act a fool, because I already got it worked out. I already have stepped in. So the point that I am making, once you walk in purpose and you have power and you use that power to walk in peace, the only other step is to have a praise about yourself. And that's why you don't have to tell me to praise. That's why you don't have to make me praise. I understand what Jay Moss said. I got to praise down on the inside that I can't keep to myself. And it's a praise on the inside that begins to bubble on the outside. And my praise just doesn't happen on Sunday morning. And my praise just doesn't happen when gospel music is praying. But when I think
of the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me, my soul cries out. So we've got to learn how to be people of praise. And now I want to shift us and want us to understand, to start thinking, and this has helped me. I have been reframing some of the things that I say. I used to say, I have to do this, but now I say, I get to do this. So I have an alarm that goes off every Sunday morning at 7:30 a.m. So if my sermon is not totally finished, I'm going to get up at 7:30 and I'm going to lock everything in and make sure everything is the way it's supposed to be. And so sometimes I would say I'm going to bed because I know I have to get up at 7:30 to make sure that the word that I have is there for the people. But I reframe it. It's not that I have to, I get to. I'm so grateful that God has chosen me. It's not that I have to clock in, but I get to clock in because somebody is crying for a job that I have. It's not that I have to deal with these kids. I get to deal with these kids because somebody couldn't have the kids that I have. When you begin to reframe it and you become people of praise, what should look like a bad thing, you reframe it as a good thing. I get to be married. I get to go to church. I get to put on clothes. I get to. Don't just say I get to go on vacation. No, I get to go to McDonald's. I get to pay these bills. I get to live with a roof over my head. I got a reason to praise God because all I got to do is find somebody, not overseas, but there's somebody close to me that doesn't have what I have. So I might as well be people of praise. All right. Let's give us just a working definition of praise. It is the expression of approval or admiration for someone or something. And then the expression of respect and gratitude as an act of worship. In other words, I am not just praising when the Spirit hits me, but I'm praising on purpose. I'm making up in my mind, I'm going to praise. See, I used to just wait till the praise hit me, but now I choose to praise just cause I want to praise. Just, I feel like having a praise break. But Pastor Andre, it's Tuesday in the afternoon. I don't need no Sunday morning. I don't need no church building. I don't need no tambourine or no organ to praise God. All I got to do is think of how good he's been. Yeah, life has been hard, but even in hard life, he's still been good. Life has been bad, but even in bad times, he's still been good. So I can't wait to praise him. I can't wait to express the goodness of God. Just on yesterday, I had another praise break in my car and I forgot what I was doing and my hand automatically went up. And when your hand go up like that, somebody next to you gonna think you waving at them. Baby, I'm not waving at you, but God is in this car. And I'm grateful that the Lord, he is my shepherd. I'm grateful that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. I'm grateful that I'm the head and not the tail. I got a reason to praise the Lord. So do you. Yesterday was the anniversary of burying my father, but yet I have a praise. Why are you praising? Because of all that was left in me by him. I could cry about him being gone, or I can praise over the legacy that he left me that I'm able to walk in. I got a reason to praise the Lord. It's not that you will never cry, but here's the thing, your cry can't outlast your praise. Even when you're crying, they gotta be praise in your tears. Sometimes my tears have praise because I'm saying, God, I'm still here. I may be hurting, but I'm still here. I may be struggling, but I'm still here. So God, I thank you. I still thank you. Don't know how I'm gonna move forward, but I still thank you. I thank you anyhow. Hallelujah. Anyhow. All right. So let's go ahead and wrap this up real quick before we
we go further, let me just go ahead and drop the main takeaway so you already know it before we move forward. Here it is. Let's put this up in Psalms 33:1 in the King James Version. Read it, Mother Mitchell.
Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright.
It's natural for those who are upright. It's comely. It's not a weird thing. It's not an odd thing. And so if you're not a praiser, I got something to throw out there. But before we go there, let's take this verse and put it in a more modern version. Go ahead and let's look at it in the NLT.
Let the godly sing for joy to the Lord. It is fitting for the pure to praise him.
Oh, maybe the reason why some folk can't praise is because they're not pure. See, if you got a bunch of bitter, envious, and hate in you, it's hard to have gratitude. It's hard to be thankful. It's hard to smile. But when you know you've done everything you can to be as pure as you can, and we're not talking about you not making mistakes because you're human. I'm talking about you're not just evil to be evil. You know, some church folk come to church and they just evil and they know they evil and don't plan on changing being evil. They like being evil. They're comfortable being evil. Well, that's the reason why them folk can't praise. You can't praise with all that evil in you, all that junk in you. So let me just throw this out here, and here's a main takeaway for you. Go ahead and flash it up for me. If you're not a praiser, maybe it's because you're a hell raiser. Maybe the real problem, the reason why you can't praise, because you have more in common with the devil than you do with your God. But the more you become like your father, the more you become like your master, the more you become like your savior, you can't help but praise. Now, I gotta say this. There's times, because I'm human, I didn't want to praise. I didn't feel like praising, and I somehow ended up praising anyhow. Let me just tell you, just this week, every now and then, I will use my ride time for music. Normally, I use my ride time to listen to the Bible or books because I have a 45 minute drive. So I use it for books. But I was like, I'm going to have me a music moment. And I didn't want no church music moment. So I pulled up some Jodeci. Some Jodeci greatest hits. And boy, I was having a good time with some Jodeci greatest hits. And so then after I finished that up on the way into work, on the way home from work, it was going to be a boys to men moment. So I had Jodeci going in and boys to men leaving. So I wasn't planning on doing no gospel on this day. This was my Monday and I was enjoying myself. But how many know that somehow I forgot what I was doing and put some gospel in and was praising even when I didn't mean to praise, because it's praise in me. I can't help it. Even when I'm listening to secular music, I end up praising God. When I hear Tevin Campbell sing Can We Talk, I say, God, you so blessed his voice. I can't help but thank God, even when I'm not in a church setting, because God is all I know. God is all in me. You can't take the God out of me, because praise is what I do and praise is who I am. You can put me at a Beyonce concert and I'll find a way to still praise the Lord, because I can't help myself, because I'm not a hell raiser, but I'm a God praiser. Same thing to happen to you. You go on vacation and you ain't trying to think about church. You want to get your little Bahama Mama and your Long Island iced tea. And then you just happen to look up at the sunset and say, God, you are beautiful God. God, you are masterful God. I can't hardly take a break from God because he's so good. Even when I miss church on a Sunday morning, I still have a praise because I can't help myself. Can't help it. All right, let's move on. Let's give us five reasons. This is This is woefully inept because there's so many reasons, but I can't keep you here forever. And you Colts fans want to go and watch the game, so I can't do 55, 65, 75 reasons. So let me only give you five reasons. Let me just throw it here up here. Point number one, it's payment. What do you mean, Pastor Andre? It's payment. Well, let me see if I can break it down. Look at Genesis 2:7. In other words, it's what I owe.
Then the Lord God formed man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being.
Man became a living being from dust because God breathed through his nostrils into the formation of dust, and dust turned into a living being. That's why they say that when you are dusting in your house, the lion's share of the dust in your house comes from your own skin, because your body returns back to what it was, what it was created out of. And so the only reason why you are living is because God breathed his breath in you. And so with that understanding, this verse makes a whole lot of sense. Read Psalms 156.
Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord.
Praise is what I owe for the breath that I have. Because if God would hold his breath for 2 minutes, the whole world would have to die, because we are using his breath. Now, there are some people don't understand. They're atheists. They don't understand that it is his breath that is causing them to live. So they get a pass because they don't know. But you don't get a pass because you ought to know that the breath that you have comes from God. And anything that has breath, it ought to praise the Lord, because it's payment for what I owe. So if you spend more time complaining than you do praising, you really don't know who is really infusing you with life. When your eyes open up in the morning, it was not Alexa and Siri that woke you up. It was the breath of the Lord that woke you up, because somebody went to sleep and did not wake up, but you woke up. So you ought to praise the Lord that I get another day on this side. This is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad. God, I thank you for waking me up this morning. Thank you for starting me on my way. Thank you for food on my table. Thank you for clothes on my back. God, I praise you. It's payment. All right, number two. Not only is it payment, it's also proper. All right, so look at Psalms 92, 1, which says what?
It is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High.
It's a good thing. It's a good thing to praise the Lord. It's the proper thing to do. If you know you have his breath, it's the proper thing to do, to tell him thank you and to praise his name. Let's look at another verse, Psalms 104, very familiar.
Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into its courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name.
Listen, if you want to be in his presence, there's proper protocol for his presence. And the proper protocol to enter into his presence is you got to have a praise on your lip. Yes. And this is not just spiritual. This is normal and natural. Back in those days, you don't come before the king asking the king to do something without you first praising the king for who he already is.
Yes.
Oh, great, mighty king, if you just could take a moment of my time, I've got to ask you something. But let me thank you for being who you are in the land. Thank you for governing the land. Thank you for the wars you've won. Thank you for the army you have. You don't ask the king anything without praising the king first. And if human kings go that way, what do you think about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? It is not just payment, it's proper to praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Not only that, it's put it up, it's also practice. It's payment, it's proper, but it's also practice. You have to understand, this life is not the only life we get. There is a life to come called eternal life. If you can't praise in this life, amen, what makes you think you'll be able to praise in that life? And every time we go to a black funeral, somebody wants to hear the song, walk around heaven all day. If you evil in earth all day, what makes you think you can walk around heaven all day? You got to learn how to practice right now. This is dress rehearsal for the life to come. So God, let me praise you now. Let me worship you now. Let me say thank you now. Because when I get there, I already know what to say. Anybody ever been in front of somebody important or famous and the cat got your tongue? You wanted to say something and you end up sounding like, oh man, I messed that up. I wanted to say something. I remember one back in the day, there was the Winans, and I got one of the Winans' autograph, and Kelly had just left, and I pointed, I said, that's my brother. I'm her sister. I'm like, oh, Lord, what am I talking about? I got caught up. I got nervous. But I want to praise God so much here that I've already practiced it. That way, when I see him over there, I already know what to do. I already know what to say because it's practice. All right. So when you come to church, it's just some good old practice. Let's read Revelation 19, verse 1.
After these things, I heard something like a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, hallelujah, salvation and glory and power belongs to our God.
This is why there's so much anointing on that song that we sang from years ago, because it comes straight from Revelation, and it is a foreshadowing of saying, hallelujah, salvation and glory. But here it says, power belong to our God. Because what it's showing, it is showing the final stages where there is no question of who has the final authority, who has the final say so. See, when you're in the first quarter, you don't know who's going to win. When you're in the second quarter, you don't know who is only going to win. But by the time the clock is ticking and hit 0:00, you know who the winner is. And so this is a foreshadowing of when we see the time where we can say hallelujah, salvation and glory, because you have been all powerful and you have reigned supreme. Let's look at the next verse.
Because his judgments are true and righteous, for he has judged the great harlot who was corrupting the earth with her immorality, and he has avenged the blood of his bondservants on her.
In other words, it's saying the spirit that's been ruling the ages throughout history, that's caused all kinds of junk to happen, from racism all the way down to kidnapping people and sex trafficking, every evil thing you can think of, it says you've judged that spirit and you've worn that spirit out and you've reigned supreme. Because this is what the spirit is trying to say, that God is nobody. I am supreme because addiction is around, death is around, loss is around. It looks like God is a failure, but God is saying there's a time coming where my judgment and my wrath will come. And it says, I'm avenging the blood of my servants. In other words, not just the fact of the people who've died and gone on, all of y'all who say Christ is who you believe in. The moment you start talking Christ, here come the devil to trying to mess with you. And God said, there's coming a day where all that will be avenged. And so the people who are in that are saying, hallelujah. In other words, I've been vindicated. You're not just going to be vindicated over here. You're going to be vindicated in the life to come. So all the hell you've been through, all the folk that talked about you, the molestation, the rapes, everything you can think of, God says there's coming a time where that enemy's got to pay for everything. And the people who've been liberated, they can't help but say power belongs to God. Read.
And a second time they said, hallelujah, her smoke rises up forever and ever.
Hallelujah. Because that spirit has been dethroned and is now burning, and I can see the smoke of my old enemy just wasting away. So hallelujah that I'm on the right team. Hallelujah that the Lord is on my side. Hallelujah that I've been rescued from the damnation that is to come on the demonic forces. Hallelujah that I used to be a part of the demonic team, but God, you delivered me and you turned me around, and now in eternal life I can worship the master and the savior, the one that died for me. So the only thing I can say is hallelujah, which means hallelujah to Yah, which means the highest praise goes to God, because at the end of the day, he's the only one that's going to last and the only one that's going to win. Read verse 4.
And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God, who sits on the throne, saying, amen. Hallelujah.
Now, we done read four verses, and they keep saying hallelujah. They keep worshiping. If a song go longer than 5 minutes, some folk ready to leave church. But, baby, when you get to heaven, you got to know how to praise and worship the Lord. Let's keep on going.
And a voice came from the throne saying, give praise to our God, all you his bondservants, you who fear him, the small and the great.
Now, a voice comes from heaven. They already doing it. And the voice comes from heaven and says, keep on. Keep on praising. Because he's worthy of the praise. This ain't time to stop. Keep on praising. Because I need you to recognize what he's done throughout all eternity. And so what we do now is practice for over there. Let's give us the last verse, verse 6.
Then I heard something like the voice of a great multitude, and like the sound of many waters, and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, saying, hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns.
Just as the people begin to praise, it sounded like thunder. It sounded like the roar of the ocean. Normally when we hear the roar of the ocean like that and thunder, it says God's voice sounds like thunder. It sounds like the roar of many waters. But when you get to the end, the people are sounding like their God. Because the people are praising their God. And they're just saying hallelujah. So here's what I'm trying to tell you. You got to start practicing your hallelujah right now. You got to get a hallelujah swag about yourself, a hallelujah mentality, a hallelujah anyhow attitude. I'm going to praise him anyhow. I'm going to praise him when I'm up, and I'm going to praise him when I'm down. I'm going to praise him healthy, and I'll praise him sick. I'll praise him no matter what, because I know what the end looks like. And since I know the end, there's no need for me to worry. I'm going to thank him. I'm going to praise him. I'm going to worship him. I'm going to let loose. You're not going to stop my praise. You're not going to quiet me. I got too much to worship him for. Quick story. Told it before. I'll tell it again. 1991, I believe, was the year. It was the year of the first Bulls championship. And so it was the Bulls and the Lakers. It was Magic versus Jordan. And so the Lakers won game one, and the Bulls won game two. And so this was the all-important game three, because normally game three sometimes decides the shift of the series. And so this is game three, but game three fell on a Friday night. And in my Mitchell household back in the day, Friday night was church night. So there was no going to be no game watching for me. Oh, but me being the technological savvy person that I am, I remembered we have a VCR that you can record things. And so even though I'm going to Deliverance Temple, I'm going to watch the game when I get home, because I recorded it and scheduled it to record. And so when we got home, I popped the tape in to watch. But unfortunately, the news happened to be on. The news came on at 11. So that showed you how long we was in church. I don't want to get on from that. But 11 o'clock news came on, and it told the score to the game. Oh, man. I was waiting suspensefully, but I found out the Bulls won.
but I'm already here. So I start watching the game. But the game goes into overtime. And I forgot that I already knew the outcome. And so I got nervous. I was sitting on the edge of my seat. And something reminded me, you already know how this is going to end. So there's no need of me being nervous. So instead of being nervous, I start relaxing. I want to see how Michael and them going to do it again. Because I already know how it's going to end. So the next time you're in a trouble, I don't want you to remember Revelation 19. You already know the outcome. I just need to see how God going to do it again. If he did it before, he'll do it again. I don't know when, I don't know how, but I know he going to do it. Because the Bible told me power belongs to God. So I'm about to praise him on credit. I'm about to praise him in advance. And if I was from the old church, I would say, don't wait till the battle is over. But shout right now. Because when you're people of praise, you already know how this thing is going to end. Let me take you to point number four. Point number four is it's pleasurable. It's pleasurable. Now I do want to make a shift from what you probably thought when you first heard that. Many times we think mainly about our pleasure when we think about our praise. Because a good praise can shift your day. It can shift the atmosphere. But I don't want us to think about our pleasure. I want to think about his pleasure. Now let me walk through this really, really carefully. But to you married couples doing married stuff in married beds, you are a poor spouse if you only enter thinking about your pleasure. If you're really going to be good at what you do, you have to think about the other person's pleasure. So when it comes to praising God, praise isn't just to make you feel good. It's for the intimacy with your master. Let's read Psalms 149:3.
Let them praise his name with dancing and make music to him with tambourine and lyre.
Uh-huh.
For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He adorns the humble with salvation.
The Lord takes pleasure. He said, go ahead and dance. Because I take pleasure in my people and the salvation that I prepared for my people. So the dance is not for you. The dance is for my pleasure. Let's go to the next verse.
Let the faithful celebrate in triumphant glory. Let them shout for joy on their bed.
Let the faithful celebrate. In other words, it's a celebration. Let me go back to another story. So some years ago when I had rededicated my life to the Lord and God began to use me, one thing that he did that I did not like is he would fall on me and the dance that I had, the church dance, was not a cute dance. And so I would pray to God and say, God, don't make me dance. Because I was worried about how the folk would look at me because it wasn't no cute. I mean, it was wild. It wasn't cute, wasn't swaggy at all. But I began to realize that the dance was not about me. The dance was for him. And what he was saying, I snatched you out of college when you was losing your mind. And now you want to get cute in front of these church folk that you know. And you don't want me to fall on you. And you don't want me to move on you. You don't want me to put my anointing on you. Because I was thinking only about my pleasure. Now you know how church folk are. They did laugh at me. And they did talk about it. It was joking, but I looked crazy. But at some point, I stopped worrying about looking crazy and start thinking about how crazy I really was if it wasn't for God snatching me and taking my life and putting me on the right course. So now I'll praise you in a dance. When the Spirit of the Lord comes upon my heart, I will dance like David danced. I can't be too cute to praise the Lord. If you too cute to praise the Lord, find you another church. You need an anointing where your mascara can run. You need an anointing where your eyelashes can fall off. You need an anointing where you can snatch your wig off if you have to. I got to praise the Lord. He been too good to me. I was sleeping in a devil's grave and he pulled me out. God, I'm going to praise you. I got to give you pleasure. It's about you. It's not about me. And let me flip it. Sometimes God wants folk to praise in a quiet way. And they won't be loud. Can't stop my praise. No, ain't nobody trying to stop your praise. But the only problem is your praise is so offbeat, it's messing up everybody else's praise. So God is trying to get you to praise in a quiet way. But it's about pleasing him. God, what do you want? Do you want me loud? Do you want me quiet? Do you want me on my knees? You want me stomping my feet? God, it's not about me. It's about your pleasure. Because you take pleasure in your people. All right, here we go. Number five, it's also powerful. It's powerful. Let me recap for us real quick. It's payment, it's proper, it's practice, it's pleasurable, and it's powerful. I'm going to drop us in the middle of a story in Acts 16, verse 22.
The crowd rose up together against them, and the chief magistrates tore their robes off them and proceeded to order them to be beaten with rods.
So since we're dropping in the middle, the question is, who are the them? The them are Paul and Silas. And Paul and Silas, and Paul specifically had ran a demon off of a girl, but the demon that was on the girl was bringing money to some people. And so they got mad. They beat Paul and Silas, and they threw them into jail cells. Let's continue to read.
When they had struck them with
many blows,
they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to guard them securely.
Not only are we beating you and throwing you in prison, we are making sure there is extra security around the prison. Verse 24.
And he, having received such a command, threw them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks.
I'll go a step further. I'll throw you in the hole. I'm gonna make sure y'all really in there. I ain't just gonna have you up there close to the bars. I'm gonna make sure you're deep in the prison. All right. Look at verse 25.
But about
hold on. What's that first word?
But.
The devil's on my tail.
But.
I've been depressed.
But.
I was grieving.
But.
All right. Keep on. Now keep on reading.
But about midnight.
Woo.
Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns.
Hold on. Something can't be right because they're not at church. They don't have Apple Music on. They've been beat and they in the prison. If anybody's got a reason to say, God, your stuff ain't working, it's them. But the scripture says they were praying and singing praises. It's one thing to pray because they in trouble. I understand them praying. But what you singing praises for, and you're beat, and you're in the prison. Read the whole thing again.
But about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them.
Hold on. They're deep in the hole, but they're singing so loud and praising so loud that the other prisoners are hearing them. Let's look at what the next verse says.
And suddenly.
Woo! My God. Hold on. Time out. It says, and what?
Suddenly.
And suddenly. Many times we want a suddenly, but this suddenly was connected to a praise. Praise in a bad situation. Some of us want everything to be perfect for us to praise. Number one, y'all ain't got no music, so I ain't coming to y'all church. I'm tired of the videos. And when you do have music, the folks sing off key, so I can't come back.
You mean everything got to be perfect for you to praise? Maybe you're not a praiser. Maybe you a hell raiser, because it doesn't have to be perfect for you to praise. All you got to do is know who your God is, and you can still praise the Lord. Paul and Silas, with wounds on their back, beat for doing what was right, hadn't done anything wrong, ended up deep in the prison, and they're singing praises to the Lord. Woo, my Lord. Oh boy, I didn't mean to go here, but let me do this. Praise is going on at Deliverance Temple. Man, I hope my pot roast is okay. Oh Jesus. Oh, I got gas. I mean, got your mind on everything but God. I understand every now and then you're not connected because you're human. But you mean you come every Sunday and you don't have no praise nowhere in your spirit? What's wrong with you? If Paul and Silas can praise under them circumstances, you with your free self. You're not being harassed by ICE. You're not being pushed over in Chicago. You're not worried about your Medicaid being cut off. And you mean you don't have a reason to praise the Lord? You mean Krista and Doug can outpraise you and all your children are living? You mean Mother Mitchell can outpraise you and your husband is still living? What's wrong with you? You better praise the Lord. Read the whole thing.
And suddenly there came a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison house were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened on everyone's, and everyone's chains were unfastened.
Hold on. It didn't just say Paul and Silas. Everybody. Chains were unfastened. Everybody. Maybe the bondage that the world is going through is because the church won't praise the way we're supposed to praise. But when we praise the way we're supposed to praise, it shakes the whole city. It shakes the whole foundation, and chains begin to fall off. So guess what? It's time to be people of praise.
All right, here's a conclusion. Getting us out of here. Here's a conclusion. And in the conclusion, all I'm going to do is just give us one bonus. So we have five. I'm going to give us a bonus. Number six is personal. See, it's personal. The reason why some people praise and some don't, because it's personal. See, I can preach it, but I can't really make you praise because it's personal. It's a personal relationship with the Lord. And in your personal prayer time and in your personal closet. And here's the thing. Some of the stuff that people have gone through is not open. There are private challenges that people can't talk about. But the reason why they're praising the way they praise, because it's personal. So I'm going to take a page. I'm not going to give you any scriptures. I'm going to take a page from a song. I'm going to read this song through, and then I'm going to ask you a question, and we're going to get out of here. So here it is. Someone asked the question, why do we sing? When we lift our hands to Jesus, what do we really mean? I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. His eye is on the sparrow. That's the reason why I sing. This is one of Kirk Franklin and the family's first songs. And so he's saying, this is why I sing. So let me ask you this question as we close. What's your reason? What's your reason to praise the Lord? And all you got to do is have a trip down memory lane. And if you take a trip down memory lane, you realize you have a personal reason to praise the Lord. I got the mic and I can tell you my reasons, but I want to know what's your reason. And so since you don't have the mic, you can't tell me, but just think about what he's done. Just think about who he is. Just think about when the needle was in your arm and somehow you didn't die. Just think
how when they put you under anesthesia and somehow you were brought back and they told you they had a complication while you was there. Your heart stopped while you were there and somehow you're back. I don't know your story, but just think of what God has done for you. Some of y'all, a gun's been put to your head, but you're still living. Some of you almost lost your mind, but you're still living. I don't know your reason, but it's personal. And what I do know is praisers have a personal reason, and you can't stop a praiser because God been too good to me. God been too good to you. Somebody smoke. The same thing you smoked. They went crazy and you still got your mind. I don't know why God has protected me. I don't know why when the car went off the road in front of me, I don't know how I made it out. I don't know how when the deer jumped across, it missed my car. All I know is I got a reason to praise the Lord. All I know is God's been good to me. All I know is he's King of Kings and he's Lord of Lords. All I know is he's still Jehovah Jireh. All I know is he still sits on the throne. All I know is he's still who he says he is. So let me ask you one more time. What's your reason? Come on, stand to your feet. And as I close, the reason might be because he was a lawyer in your courtroom. The reason might be he was a doctor in your sick room. The reason might be he crawled in the bed with you and hugged you as you cried yourself to sleep. The reason might be he grabbed your wheel and held your wheel. The reason might be because you couldn't pay your utility bill and it was freezing at night. But somehow the night you didn't have no heat, God sent a warm breeze to come through. It happens to be 55 in December and you praising God because you was cold, didn't know how you and your babies were going to make it. I don't know what God has done, but my question is, what's your reason? Once you know your reason, then you realize this is the season to praise the Lord. All right, here's our confession. We close like this. Repeat after me. Father God, help us to be people of praise. May we praise you early. May we praise you often for who you are, for what you've done, and for how you love us. Two more times. For who you are, for what you've done, and for how you love us. For who you are, for what you've done, and for how you love us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now go ahead and practice and praise the Lord. Give him the fruit of your lips. Just tell him something. Oh, tell him you thank him. Tell him you appreciate him. All right. We're going to pray. We're going to get out of here. Sister Jossie, would you come back up? We're going to do one of them old school dismissals. Back in the day, as we were leaving, we would sing, "Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord." So that's how we're going to dismiss. I'm going to pray. And would you just go right into that? Thank you, Lord. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, I pray that we would be a church that praise erupts in, not just in our actions in the building, but in our everyday life. Let us be people of praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, let's sing this with him.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. You've been so good. You've been so You've been so good. And I just want to thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you.